Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Cicel Overgaard. Recycling. People like to talk about it a lot, but how many of us actually do it? And how well do you understand it? What can get recycled? What can't? What happens to it once it's out of your sight? All issues we'll be sorting through today. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Joining me in the studio is Jill Holbert, Acting Director of Albuquerque's Solid Waste Management Department. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And on the phone we have, joining us from vacation, thank you so much, English Bird, who is Executive Director of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. Good morning, English.
Good morning.
Before we get started, just to get us in the mood, we have a little montage here we want to play for you, care of our news intern, Andy Lyman, who hit the streets recently to talk to people like Russ Anderson, who's the first voice you'll hear, about their thoughts on recycling and how often they do it.
I actually don't. I just treat trash as trash. I never really thought about it, I guess.
My name's Kimberly Smith, and I'm from Zuni, New Mexico. Every day, I pick up those little tabs that I see on the ground and I turn those into the Ronald McDonald House.
My name is Carla. I'm from Santa Fe. You know, we have a good setup in Santa Fe where they come pick it up once a week and they provide the bins, so it works for me.
David Garcia from Albuquerque. It'd be great if they would do a pickup. Like, I used to live in San Francisco. They'd come and get it.
I'm Sandy from Albuquerque. The problem in Albuquerque is that there's so few places that are user-friendly and accessible for people. I mean, they have to go miles.
What's your understanding of what happens after it gets taken away?
Do you know, I honestly don't know. I'm ignorant about that. I don't know.
I've always wondered. I assume they sort it at a central facility and then it goes to the appropriate place, but I've also heard rumors that it doesn't, which troubles me.
Jill, since a lot of that was Albuquerque-based, do you want to respond to any of the things? We're going to be getting into a lot of those issues, but any initial thoughts there?
Oh, sure. I realize our current program is not very popular. We do have curbside pickup for all the individual households in the city, but we don't have a lot of participation, and I think that's what some of the callers were talking about. And we can talk a little bit more about our expansion in that area.
Yep. And English, do you have any thoughts? Maybe on that the end there, the guy was expressing some skepticism about whether recycling does, in fact, get recycled. Is that something you've heard before?
You know, we certainly have heard that before, but recycling does get recycled, and it's very valuable. All of these things are collected because they have value, they're worth money, so the program that takes them in holds on to them, processes them, and makes sure that they get turned into something new.
Okay, great. In a few minutes, we'll begin taking your calls. You can reach us at 277-5866 if you're in Albuquerque, or toll-free 877-899-5866. Before we get to the callers, though, I want to give Jill and English a chance to give us some updates on how we're doing with recycling right now in New Mexico compared to some of the other places in the country, and where we're going from here, some of the new things on the horizon. So I wanted to start, though, because we're going to be talking a lot about recycling rates, diversion rates. Could you maybe, Jill, explain what those words actually mean?
It's a little bit confusing because different places, different states calculate that number differently. So it's hard to compare across states. In New Mexico, they go by the EPA method. Not all states do. But what that means is they're looking at the total amount of trash going to a landfill, the total amount of materials being produced, and then how much of that is diverted. And sometimes it's diversion and sometimes it's called recycling. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not. Recycling is specifically taking recyclables and making new products out of them. Diversion can also mean alternative daily cover, which is another use for materials, but it's not a high use. It's basically at the landfill, using it for operational needs at the landfill. You see that with glass sometimes. You see that with organics, wood chips, concrete, things like that. So if you count everything, it's called diversion. If you're looking specifically at the materials that like usually are collected at the curb, that's recycling.
Okay, so in that sense, what is New Mexico's recycling rate?
The latest number I have was 15% for recycling, and I think that's gone up a little bit. I think they haven't released the newest numbers yet. I think it's gone up a little bit.
Okay, and how does Albuquerque factor in there?
Well, it's interesting because the state doesn't measure Albuquerque. The state measures Bernalillo County. They measure all the counties in the state. And Bernalillo County is at 22%, you know, which is better than the state average. We owe that tremendously to the private recycling efforts in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. There's some really large recyclers who recycle through grocery stores, you know, businesses, things like that. The city of Albuquerque's program is within that number. It's not nearly that big. The city of Albuquerque is right around 5%.
Okay.
When you just look at city programs, mm-hmm. again, not counting the private programs.
Okay. Do you want to add anything there, English, to the rates, or maybe put that in comparison to other states? How are we doing? Is that pretty typical?
Well, we're in line with other Rocky Mountain states. We're comparable, but nationally, I think it just tipped to 34%. So, we're halfway there.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the New Mexico Recycling Coalition that you lead at one point had a goal of trying to get to about 33% by the end of this year, right? That's pretty ambitious. I don't know if at this point that's likely to happen.
Yeah, we took that as a goal 5 years ago, and we wanted to really dream big because that's what recycling needed for our state. And we took that goal when the recycling rate was measured at 10%. So we've seen, steady increase. There's so much more on the horizon happening around the state, so we might not see that number by the end of the year, but I do hope to see it in the next few.
Okay, and so maybe let's use this as an opportunity for you to talk a little bit about the work that the New Mexico Recycling Coalition has been doing and with the hub and spoke model.
Yeah, this is a model used to mostly assist in rural or the communities that are outside of the Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Las Cruces areas. And it's a simple idea where there's a regional hub, and that's where all the recyclables would be taken for a certain geographic area. The spokes are where people would drop off the recycling. In most of the rural areas, it's not curbside collection of the recyclables. It's going off to the existing drop-off station or trailer in town and taking your recyclables that way. And what we have coming up on the horizon is very exciting. Some federal stimulus funds have come into our state to assist recycling, and this year we'll see 6 new hubs. Those are in Torrance County, Deming, Otero County, Raton, the McKinley-Cibolo County area, and Truth or Consequences. We have 6 expanding hubs. Some of those are in rural areas. Some of them are in the metro areas. And we have a new curbside program. Las Cruces last year added curbside. So that's a big deal as well.
Okay. And you mentioned that some of that funding was coming from federal stimulus spending. Any other major sources?
Besides the federal stimulus funding, the state does have an annual grant program, and that's helped a lot as well. It's called the Recycling and Illegal Dumping Grant Program. Communities can use it for a variety of projects.
Okay, and I know you had sent out a press release a while back that said access through these programs has actually doubled. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Over the years, we've been tracking how much drop-off accessibility. This is the what I was talking about, where a citizen has an opportunity to drop off recycling within 30 miles of their household, which certainly isn't as easy and convenient as it should be or could be, but it's something. And we've seen the drop-off locations steadily rise each year. The past 4 years, 83 drop-off sites have been added. And just coming up in this next year, 39 new sites will be added.
What does it take to get somebody to bring their recycling to a drop-off site? That's a lot of work. I mean, you must have to really convince someone pretty well before they're going to be carting their stuff 30 miles.
And I think you've just sort of asked the eternal question in this industry is how do we motivate people to recycle? And the best answer is to make it easy and convenient and make sure they understand how to do it correctly.
Okay. And so maybe that brings us to Albuquerque, which is working really hard right now to make it even more convenient. Can you tell us about the pilot program expansion and what's in store for the next year?
Yeah, we are very excited. This administration, Mayor Barry, has made recycling a top priority for his administration. And it's a really great place to be right now because recycling is going to be hitting citywide over the next year. Right now, as far as the cart-based recycling, I guess we haven't mentioned the carts yet, but to make it the most convenient, we found give the household a cart, just like they have garbage carts in Albuquerque. We're going to give them a recycling cart. You throw everything in there. You don't need to worry about sorting, bundling, you know, setting. I mean, you have to put it out to the – you have to wheel it to the curb, just like your trash cart on the same day as your trash day. So that's what's coming in Albuquerque. Right now we have 10,000 households in Albuquerque who are participating in that pilot program. We've seen tremendous returns on that. We've gone from, you know, a citywide average of maybe 30% participation in our curbside program to about 74% in that in those pilot areas. Okay. And about doubling or tripling the amount of materials that they're actually recycling when they're in the pilot. So that's kind of old news. The new news is we're expanding that pilot by another 21,000 households, and we're rolling carts out right now. I mean, as we're on the air, we're rolling carts out. And we'll be finished over the next 2 weeks. And that's to get more households recycling, but also for our department, you know, to really get our feet wet as far as a citywide expansion. We're ordering trucks. We're going to be hiring new people. You know, there's a lot of work behind 176,000 cart deployment. Yeah. So we're working on that now. The expansion is in March. The citywide will start rolling around November, December, maybe January of 2013. And it'll take 3 to 6 months for full deployment of those carts.
Okay. So at this point, if you're one of the lucky people to be in the expansion currently, you will have already gotten a letter, right? People should
yes,
know.
Yes, the letter's already been issued. You can also go on our website, though, on the city website, and we have an interactive tool. You can put in your address, and it'll tell you, you know, yes, you're in the pilot expansion, or no, you'll be delivered in 2013.
I know. That after we talked last time, that was the first thing I did. I ran to the computer and typed in my address. Oh, I was not in the cut. I didn't make the cut. But I'm looking forward to the future.
2013.
So one other question I wanted to ask with all of these things is, where does all the recycling go from here? And what is the best, what are the strongest markets for which materials and that kind of thing?
Well, specifically in Albuquerque, one of the major initiatives that the mayor pushed through was a partnership with Freedman. They're a private processor. The city used to do its own processing. We had an outdated, very small capacity facility, and it really, you know, excuse the pun, it was the bottleneck in the recycling processing here, and we couldn't expand recycling without having adequate processing. So in November, we signed an agreement with Freedman, and so currently all of our material is going to their facility in El Paso to be sorted and sold to market from there. However, the timing of the citywide expansion, the end of this year, beginning of next year, is when Freedman will have a full processing facility here in either Bernalillo County or in Albuquerque. And, you know, talking about hub and spoke, that will be a tremendous asset to the central Rio Grande area because there will be processing available not only for the city of Albuquerque, which is a huge part of it, but also private businesses, the university, Sandia, you know.
And will other communities in the state then be able to send their recyclables to the new processing facility
yes.
here? Do you have any idea, English, what percentage of the state's recycling programs will be coming then through Albuquerque?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I'm pretty – Valencia County is in the area. There's a lot of tribes and nations that will probably be interested. And there's two different collection methods. The facility Jill talks about is single stream, or mostly single stream, where most of the materials go into one container. Out in the smaller communities, they're sorting. So communities who may choose to go to single stream will be very interested and bringing material to that facility.
Okay, and I'm just going to preempt this because I'm sure this is going to be a question. Glass. We're able to expand now to so many other things, but still no glass in the bins. And why is that?
Well, the glass in the bins, currently it's an issue of health and safety because our trucks are manually loaded. You know, an actual man or woman gets out of the truck and picks up a bag. And there's a, you know, a health risk with broken glass and, you know. But also it's the separation of glass from the other materials. In order to keep your other materials high quality and basically you don't want them to turn into trash because you've contaminated them. And that's a huge issue with broken glass and paper. Paper mills have a very difficult time with broken glass shards coming in the paper stream. So we've chosen to keep it as a separate stream here in Albuquerque. At the same time, we're trying to optimize and make most efficient our transportation, our pickup collection, which the city will continue to do all the collection, which means basically throwing everything in the same cart and throwing it all to one in one container or one compartment in the truck, which, again, doesn't really jive with having glass as part of your curbside stream. So we'll continue to have glass as a drop-off, but we're not looking at adding it to our curbside stream.
Okay. We're going to go to a break here in a minute. We're talking with Jill Holbert, who's acting director of Albuquerque's Solid Waste Management Department. And on the phone, we have English Bird, executive director of New Mexico's Recycling Coalition. As far as you listeners out there, what kind of hurdles have you had to jump through in the past to keep something out of the landfill, or what would it take to actually get you to start recycling? You can give us a call in Albuquerque at 277-5866 or toll-free 877-899-5866. We'll begin taking some calls right after this break.
Join us this Saturday on the Children's Hour at 9 a.m. to talk about water. Where does our water come from? And what's the difference between the water we see in the river and ditches and the water we drink? What chemicals are found naturally in our water and what are added and why? How can kids help conserve water? And why should they? Join us with special guest Dr. Bruce Thompson on the Children's Hour this Saturday at 9 a.m. for a discussion about water.
On Friday, March 23rd, join KUNM for a special broadcast. 2 hours of classical music recorded live in concert here in New Mexico. Guillermo Figueroa and the Figueroa Project Chamber Orchestra perform Beethoven's Second Symphony. And Roger Malone leads the New Mexico Symphonic Chorus and Orchestra in Mozart's Requiem. That's Friday morning, March 23rd, from 9 to 11, here on KUNM 89.9 FM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about the future of recycling in New Mexico with Jill Holbert and English Bird. I want to go to some callers now. Dan in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. Jill, English, I hope you're having a great morning. I wanted to start my question with a mention that in my household, our family considers picking up litter a sacrament, where we are doing a great service to Earth and the whole world of getting rid of litter and taking care of and doing some sense of responsible management of the waste that we make. The question that I had actually stemmed from a special that Penn and Teller did on Showtime on their show, which I don't believe I can say its name out loud, but it's abbreviated BS, where they took on the notion of recycling and asked the real probing base question, are we actually saving anything with this recycling? So what we've got here is this huge infrastructure that the two of you are talking about, where we are using tax dollars to collect a bunch of raw materials out of the public and get it cheaply back in the hands of corporate manufacturers that are basically the litterers to begin with anyway. And we are using these trucks that aren't terribly efficient and actually in the long run amplifying the carbon footprint of making plastic bottles and paper products to much bigger than they would if we just left it alone. What we need in the world is a real good statement from people like you that, yes, indeed, we are making some sense of improvement with this recycling efforts. Do you have any comment about something like that? Are we actually saving anything with this?
Jill's pulling out her charts as she's listening here, so I think she has an answer for you.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent question. It really is. I think that people sometimes lose sight of the big picture of the carbon footprint in the name of, you know, being green and, you know, trying to do the right thing. But I think we all have to be aware of what is the big picture. Some of the thoughts I have are, you know, the three R's, the reduce, reuse, recycle. We first want to reduce what we buy, what we use. You know, let's just reduce the waste that we might generate. Reuse when you can, and then recycle, and then throw away. You know, so recycling is not the first choice. But I head up a municipal solid waste department, and what you throw away is my responsibility, and what you recycle is my responsibility. So the reduce and reuse is on you. Then it comes down to our department. I think it's very important to look at some of the benefits of recycling. Obviously, energy is a huge issue. I talked about trying to be more efficient in our collections because, again, that's part of the carbon footprint is our collection trucks out there. But also look at the energy saved by recycling materials versus virgin production. So if you look at aluminum, you can go out and mine bauxite, and it's an extremely high energy intensive process to create aluminum from virgin materials. By recycling aluminum, you save about 95% of the energy required to make it from virgin materials. So that's a perfect example of why it makes sense to recycle under the carbon footprint scenario.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to mention is jobs. English talked about trash, you know, as being a resource. And if you look at that, I run a landfill too. You know, in the landfill, we only have a handful of guys out there, big equipment. And we can landfill about 500,000 tons, about 500,000 tons a year, fairly efficiently and cheaply. But there's not that many jobs involved. There's not a, what am I say? There's not a benefit. All that stuff just goes in the ground and is buried.
Lose-lose.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose. If you look at reintroducing those materials into the economy, now you're talking about a resource to be made into something else and the jobs associated with that. So there's a study that looks at jobs per 10,000 tons per year of materials. So if I have 10,000 tons per year of stuff and I put it in the landfill, that's about one job. Because, again, it's really efficient just to dump it in the ground and bury it, efficient as far as workforce. Mm-hmm. If you take that same 10,000 tons per year of stuff and say it's all recyclable and you take it to a processing facility, that's 10 jobs. Then it gets sent downstream to a paper mill to be turned into paper again. That's another 18 jobs. And a lot of these jobs are private sector jobs. We're not talking about, you know, government pork barrel projects here. These are private sector jobs where we've introduced resources back into the economy.
Well, we're talking about jobs just for a minute, because I know a few weeks ago we had a call-in show and somebody called and said, why aren't we having more recycling processing and remanufacturing facilities in New Mexico? Does it make sense? How spread apart do those kinds of facilities need to be, or does it make sense economically in terms of trucking the recycling that we have and that kind of thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, certainly the best scenario would to have local markets, to have local manufacturers. Unfortunately, being in a fairly rural state, there's just not the economies of scale to have the bulk of materials coming in. So you end up with regional facilities, sometimes national facilities, but a lot of regional facilities. So we're lucky to have cardboard produced here in the state. Newspaper is just across the border in Arizona. And those are wonderful local markets. I think when you start shipping to China, you really ought to think twice about that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really a lot of transportation cost, a lot of carbon footprint to make up. So certainly the more local the market, the better. And certainly plastics, for example, tend not to be in the Southwest, so you tend to have to ship them a little further. But, yeah, try to stay out of China, really, as far as getting your materials processed and turned into new materials.
Do you have any sense of what percentage of plastic from here actually does go to China versus other places in the country?
I would say very little. I think the West Coast, California, I know they're really proud of the recycling rate. Unfortunately, in California, much of their material goes to China just because they've got the seaports right there and the cheap transportation. When you come inland to the Rocky Mountain states, I would say less if any goes to China because of the transportation costs.
Okay. I want to take another caller. Rob in Edgewood, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. Our household probably recycles about 70%. So kudos to the caller that preceded me. He brought up an interesting question about the trucks that are used to pick up the recyclables. Are they on natural gas? How much of a reduction of the carbon footprint are we really doing? But my main question is something that just came up here recently, and that's regarding the recycling or disposal, proper disposal of CFLs. That's the little curly Q light bulbs that we're using. I found out that the city is no longer picking these up from businesses, that people will be responsible for dropping off on their own. And I'd like to know what the response is from the city.
Yeah, I want to talk about the CFLs first. CFLs, you're right, are the compact fluorescent light bulbs, the smaller curly Q fluorescent bulbs. Actually, all of that type of material is managed by our Environmental Health Department, not the Solid Waste Management Department. But we do have options available. We have a contract with RINCAM. They handle all of the hazardous, household hazardous wastes. And so you can certainly bring it to them as well as your paints, varnishes, you know, rat poisoning, whatever else you might have that's toxic in your home. And there's no charge to our residents for that. In addition, a lot of the local businesses have CFL return sites, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, that type of thing. They have areas that you might be able to drop off CFLs for recycling as well.
Okay, yeah, I think that would be more of an issue these days as people switch over more and more. Let's take another call from Glenn in Himas.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ever since Earth Day last year, when several of us up here in Himas Springs decided to clean up all the trash thrown out by people who come our way, I have decided to just daily pick up trash between the village here where the bathhouse is and down about half a mile to the post office. And rarely is there a day that there's not trash thrown out. That's kind of discouraging, and I guess I would like to put the word out to people who come this way, please keep your trash in your car and take it instead of just pitching it for the rest of us to do that. I happen to go down to Albuquerque every weekend for medical appointments and shopping and so on, and I always take down my recyclables. And a couple of weeks ago, when I went to the center there on Edith and Comanche, the bins were totally full. People were driving up and just putting boxes and whatever on the ground, and the wind was blowing it. And I thought, I bet this could be done a little bit better to have empty big bins when a weekend comes when a lot of people can bring out their trash. And then this last weekend when I stopped at the one behind the Walmart in Carlisle, whoever dropped the big bins didn't open them. And I'm 5'10 and fairly able. I could not open those darn things with these new spring-loaded things, and I guess I would like to invite whoever drops these things to open them. A couple of women were there, and they were depending on me to open these things, and I couldn't open them, and it was, again, kind of frustrating. So those are comments. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All good reminders. I'm sure there are some other stories out there about frustrations with those huge dumpsters. Are those actually going to get reduced in number once the full city rollout happens?
We haven't made a final determination on that. Primarily, those were put in place prior to our multifamily housing recycling program, which now is in place. And it was basically to give apartment dwellers in Albuquerque the same opportunities to recycle as our households, which is, you know, curbside recycling. And which, again, now the apartment complexes have those of 25 units or greater have on-site recycling provided by the city. So they're kind of a program that is still out there, but we're not sure of the purpose anymore. And I think we will keep it, but we're not really sure what it's going to look like. I think when we go to the full citywide cart recycling, I think people who are frustrated with our current curbside recycling, you know, may choose to recycle at home. And it'll reduce the amount of material going to those. But I did want to mention our Clean City Division is responsible for picking up those bins. And we actually work 7 days a week picking up those bins and exchanging empty ones, as well as a crew just to go pick up the stuff that isn't recyclable, the engine blocks and the couches and the televisions that people put alongside them. So I feel like we put a tremendous amount of effort into keeping those nice, but unfortunately people abuse them because they're out there in the public and they're not monitored.
Uh-huh. English, I'm sure, is it this type of dumpster that you'll find in the hub locations? And have you experimented with sort of different styles that make it easier for people?
You know, it's the same sort of collection container. It's a big dumpster in many cases, sometimes a smaller trailer. It just depends on the community and what works for them as far as hauling that to their recycling center. And there's always challenges, but it's about the convenience that we're really interested in.
Okay. Let's hear from Clifton in Albuquerque. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hey, I heard you mentioning the pilot part of the program. I did get a letter saying that there were going to be some kind of new container, and I confess I kind of skimmed it and then missed the part of the show this morning when you were talking specifically about it. Generally, I leave all my cardboard and my glass and my aluminum, and I have been reticent. I've been a good plastic recycler. So I cleaned all that up. I took it to the bins behind Walmart, which on that day were nice and easy to use. I was impressed, thought I'd start going there instead. So if I may, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. The first one is, as I listen to the program, it sounds like the bins that will be delivered to my house, first of all, it said March. Is that coming pretty soon since we're in March now?
Yes, they will be delivered by the end of March. All the pilot expansion carts will be out by the end of March.
And then I have a single container in which to put paper, plastic, and aluminum. Is that correct?
Oh, you asked the golden question. I get to talk about the expanded materials. I'm really excited about what Friedman is bringing to Albuquerque. They process a lot more materials than we've traditionally recycled here in Albuquerque. And I know glass is an issue, but I just have to tell you about all the other materials that we will be adding to the mix that, yes, you'll put all together in that cart. So in addition to the current materials that we recycle, and you alluded to the newspapers, junk mail, aluminum cans, tin cans, cardboard, we're also adding cereal and cracker boxes, which we currently don't do, milk and juice boxes, phone books at the curb rather than the special drop-off for phone books, books, hardbound and paperback, paper egg cartons, 1 through 7 plastics. Right now we just do 1 and 2, so we're going to expand to all the plastic bottles and tubs, rigid plastic toys and hampers, things like that. In addition, on the metal side, in addition to aluminum and tin cans, we're going to be taking small electronics, pots and pans, and small appliances. And I'm waiting for the range to show up right next to the cart when it doesn't fit in. But no, we need it to have it fit in the cart. But the whole idea is to increase the amount of material that you can separate out of your trash and that we can recycle effectively here in Albuquerque. So all of those materials you will be able to put in your cart. And the basic rule here is when you get your cart, that's when you get the new materials.
Does that answer your question, Clifton?
That's great. I think that's wonderful. I do have another question, though, regarding the glass. I thought I had read somewhere or seen somewhere that the city or perhaps the county had purchased or made an arrangement with somebody that had some kind of equipment that was used for glass recycling.
Currently, our glass is getting recycled through a partner that we have with Growstone. And Growstone makes a product called Growstones. They're an agricultural, like a hydroponic substrate, an agricultural amendment. And we provide the glass from the City of Albuquerque's program to their process.
Actually, while we're on that subject, I think John in Albuquerque also had a question about glass. John, you're on the air?
Well, I think that answered it. Thank you.
That was it? Okay.
Good morning.
That was easy. Thanks. So let's go to Barbara in Albuquerque.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for doing this program. This is great. I had a couple questions. One of them is, how come businesses in Albuquerque aren't required to recycle? And specifically, I'm thinking, I'm a gym member. I go to the gym. They sell the plastic bottles of water, and then there's no recycle capability. And I've asked them about it, and they said, well, they don't have any way to actually get the recycle picked up, I guess, is the excuse that I was given. But when I was in Hawaii years ago, you had to, businesses that sold plastic or glass containers had to provide recycle capability there at their business. And so I'm curious about that. And then the other question, I'll ask it and then I'll just listen back, is Cape Cod in Massachusetts has a fabulous recycling program that also provides hummus and, they turn the materials into something that the people can actually use there around the city. And it's just a fabulous program, and I hope that maybe with this new vendor you're bringing in, we'll be seeing more of that kind of recycle capability as well.
I want to just bring English into the conversation for a minute. English, maybe since you work on a statewide level, could you talk about any requirements from the state as far as recycling goes? What kind are there any requirements?
There are not very many in New Mexico. There is a ban of lead acid batteries. Those are car batteries. They can't be thrown into the landfills. But what Barbara might be talking about in Hawaii is a bottle deposit or a bottle bill. Hawaii was one of the most recent states to add this kind of legislation. There's only 11 states in the U.S. that have this kind of policy in place. So I'm sort of wondering if that's where she was going with that. But otherwise, in New Mexico, we don't have any mandatory recycling for business, for people. There were some goals set, but nothing associated with mandatory or penalties.
Okay, and on that bottle bill question, I just wanted to ask about that because I was looking through some stuff and I found these statistics that in those 11 states you mentioned, they have a glass recycling, bottle and can recycling rate of about 60% on average, whereas in the states that don't have those kinds of bills, it's only about 24%. Now, that's from 2006, so I don't know if that's still totally accurate, but I mean, that's a pretty big difference. Is that something that New Mexico has ever considered or will be considering in the future?
Every couple of years, a bottle bill is proposed, and it doesn't usually get very far as gaining traction. It doesn't consider ways to bring in all the materials. It focuses on beverage containers usually, and there's usually a limited set of that. There's pushback because of the collection method and figuring out a way to efficiently bring in these materials. So when it is introduced, there's a lot of challenges associated with launching a program like that.
Okay. I want to go to Ted from Peña Blanca. He has a question or a comment about small communities. So while we have you here, English, let's talk about that. Ted, you're on the air.
Hello. This program fits in perfectly with a community meeting that we're going to have in Peña Blanca this evening. And I was going to propose that we have a recycling area in a community in hopes not only for the purpose of just the decency of recycling, but also in hopes that the community could sell the recycled products. Is there any possibility of accomplishing that for small communities?
That sounds like a question for you, English.
Well, it's yes and no, and it's sort of complicated in the sense that the newer these hubs that I talked about earlier in the program, they're able to make the product into a baled material. This is a big big gigantic cube that's compressed in a piece of equipment called a baler, and then it's ready to be sold to the end market and thus has great value that way. So for a community to reap a steady stream of revenue, they would need to be able to prepare the material that's ready to be consumed by the end markets, the remanufacturers. But on a small scale, if you're in the Albuquerque area, we all know that metals hold value. If you have a way to collect the metals, say aluminum cans, there's several places in Albuquerque where you can sell that for value. So the answer is yes and no, and I would love to help you offline and maybe discuss this further.
You have a lot of resources available to communities interested in recycling on your website. Is that right, English?
That's true.
Okay.
There's information for small communities, for the business community, for just a regular household recycler, and there's also a recycling directory. If you wanted to look up where to recycle a certain item, you can search that way as well.
Okay, and Ted, there's actually a link to that website from KUNM.org. If you go there, it should be right at the top of the page, and you can look and see what kind of resources there are there. We're going to take one more caller and then go to a break. Lori in Magdalena, you're on the air.
Hi. First, I wanted to say hi, English.
Hi, Lori.
And kudos, kudos to you and the Recycling Coalition for all that you do for the state. I wanted to tell Jill, my family, we're a family of five, and we drive into Albuquerque about once a month for other errands and stuff, but we also bring our recycling in, and we actually drop our stuff off that site at Comanche and Edith, so that's a very much-needed resource for us, considering that our community is still building its recycling. Magdalena does recycle oil and tires. I think in June they'll pick up tires. And Socorro, actually the county picks up cardboard. And then I think there are local entities that take plastic at least once a month or things like that. But I think for our for recycling to grow, we need to develop our culture. And we need to become a community and a people that goes away from thinking that our trash goes into a landfill. I really think we need to change the way that we look at the things that we throw away. And as English had said, trash as resource. And I think that that will begin in education and the way that we teach in our communities. And it's an ownership and an appreciation for life and all those things of that nature. But I just want to also say thank you for this call, not the call, but the show. I think it's really important.
Great. And speaking of trash as resource, after we have this break, I want to talk a little bit about organics recycling. That's another big issue. If you happen to be sitting near a computer, you might want to go to KUNM.org, and you'll see there's a chart there that's straight out of Albuquerque's Integrated Waste Management Plan. Did I get that right? The numbers are from 2008 in the chart that you'll see there, but it's pretty striking. It's worth taking a look at before we get into this discussion of organics recycling and what can be done with yard waste. We are talking about the future of recycling in New Mexico, and this is KUNM.
Donating to Goodwill means donating local. Now accepting donations of gently used items at locations across the state to support programs helping New Mexicans overcome barriers to employment. Online at goodwillit.org. A message from the tax-exempt Goodwill Industries of New Mexico.
Support for KUNM provided by Weekly Alibi, Albuquerque's free press. Their 18th annual Best of Berkey Readers Poll is a guide to the city's nightlife, politics, shopping, and culture. On stands April 5th.
This is the KUNM call-in show. We're talking about the future of recycling in New Mexico with Jill Holbert, who's acting director of Albuquerque's Solid Waste Management Department, and English Bird, the executive director of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. But right now, I actually want to take a call from Walter Dodds, who is the head of the New Mexico Organics Recycling Organization. Are you there, Walter?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to check in a little bit about organics recycling and what's happening now in New Mexico. If you've had a chance to look at that chart on our website, you'll see that one of the greatest areas for growth, at least apparently according on this chart, is in terms of yard waste and what can be done to keep that out of landfills. So, Walter, maybe you could talk a minute about what is actually happening right now.
Well, good morning, Jill. Good morning, English.
Good morning.
Organics is a steady stream. I don't know the numbers on the website. I'm not looking at a computer right now, but it's a big chunk of what goes into the landfill every year. And people have it every year when the leaves fall. There's a couple of organizations. The city of Albuquerque recycles their green waste, and there's some private organizations. Just recently, about 4 or 5 years ago, food waste. The ability to haul and recycle food waste was allowed. It's a steady material, and there's slow and steady progress in the recycling of that material.
What are some of the special challenges that New Mexico faces when it comes to looking at yard waste? I know, Jill, you had said that when we look at this chart, it's a little bit misleading because it's based on national numbers as far as the potential for recycling yard waste, and that doesn't necessarily jive with what we know here in New Mexico.
Right. It's based on national percentages. If you break down what waste is generated, yard waste is a percent, and then when you apply, that percent to Albuquerque, it's maybe a little high because we're an New Mexico as a whole, we're an arid region.
So do you have a sense of what, I guess, percent of the stuff getting and in, going into the landfill is yard waste that could be composted or...
We haven't measured that, certainly not recently, as far as the actual percent. But I think nationally they look at, and Walter, you probably have this number more than I do, but I think nationally they look at maybe 15 to 20%, and I think we're probably 10% or below.
Okay. That's still a good chunk, though.
It's still a good chunk, and I think that's probably low. I think we're higher than that, but I don't have any solid numbers. I think for my purposes, I like to push that number as high as possible. but at any rate, there's a lot of material that, regardless of the percentage, that goes into the landfill that shouldn't. I think one of the challenges, or the challenge, in New Mexico is the size and the sparse population. And yet organics, you can do that at home. You don't have to take it to a manufacturer or a processor. You can compost or manage your green waste at home really easily. Much of your green waste, much of your food waste and your leaves and your grass clippings can be dealt with at home. And so I would say one of the biggest challenges is just getting people to understand that and not worry that it's going to be a big stinky pile in the backyard.
So if you are not one prone to composting, though, I know there are some cities that actually have a third bin, right, that's for food waste. Any chance of that ever happening here, or is that?
Well, sure, there's always that chance. That's a good question, though. The problem with that, with a bin of food waste, is the chance of putrescibility. I mean, it stinks if left alone. It's got a lot of moisture and a lot of nitrogen in it, and so it must be managed much quicker and much quicker than, say, bottles and cans. And although that material is already in your trash, it's still, when you separate it, it tends to rot quickly.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that's ever been on the table in Albuquerque? Or?
Well, Jill will have to answer that. I think it's in the works, but I don't think that it's pushed at the moment.
Yeah, we've looked at it, and we actually went out and did a number of community meetings about 2 years ago in preparation of the Integrated Waste Management Plan, which Cicely, you've already referred to. And that was our initial idea. We looked at some of the big cities, Seattle and San Francisco, and said, well, let's do that. You know, so we looked at a trash cart, a recycling cart, and an organics cart, or yard waste cart. And we went out and kind of did community meetings all over Albuquerque. And you as you can imagine, people who show up to meetings about recycling are avid recyclers and really green-minded people. And we got beat up over that yard waste cart. There was a sense that it was not that we were sending the wrong message, that we did not want people to have lawns that they were watering, that we did not want people to generate a lot of yard waste because we wanted them to conserve water and plant xeriscaping and things like that. And if we gave everybody that third cart and we charged everybody for that third cart, it was maybe sending a mixed message. Sure, generate it. You're charged for it anyway, even if you don't generate it. So we backed off of that third cart idea. Huh. And one of the things that we've programmed or planned for in the future, and this will happen after the cart for recycling gets distributed citywide, but the next step, and it's included in our Integrated Waste Management Plan, is to look at subscription yard waste collection. In other words, we will give you a cart, but you only pay for it if you want that cart. So everyone is not carrying that charge on their bill, just the people who specifically request the cart and, want to use it every week.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you then also, because we had talked about pay-as-you-throw.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, and is that coming to Albuquerque?
Yeah, that's also in our plan. We're probably a little bit behind on that one. That'll come over in the next few years as well. The idea in Albuquerque specifically is that you pay a certain amount for garbage right now, and you have a 96-gallon cart for all the single-family residences in Albuquerque. And what we do is we would offer you a smaller cart. We're looking at a 48-gallon cart, which is literally half the size of the 96. And if you could fit in that smaller cart every week with your garbage and recycle all that you want with your big recycling cart, maybe compost at home like Walter was talking about, or subscribe to a yard waste collection, you would have a smaller bill because you're using the smaller garbage cart, we would charge you less. So the idea is to financial incentive to sorting your waste, and then, you know, you get the benefit of that savings.
Right. When I was looking at the plan, it looks like the difference, though, is only really a dollar or two a month, or maybe that's just the proposal and it could potentially be more than that. Is that really enough to get somebody to downsize, I guess, with their garbage?
That proposal is the one we took out to those community meetings. And that was definitely a reoccurring question that people said, you know, is that enough money to be an incentive? And we haven't really priced it yet. That's just part of the plan. So we'll have to do a little more research on that before we actually implement that program. But the idea was to maybe ease people into the – it's a new thing here in Albuquerque. Pay-as-you-throw hasn't been done here. It hasn't – it's really hardly been done anywhere in the state. I think Silver City is the only one who's doing pay-as-you-throw right now. And so the idea, we wanted to kind of ease people into it, maybe with not such a sticker shock of having a huge price difference. And then over time – you know, as we do rate increases, you know, kind of burden that larger garbage cart with higher rates.
English, Jill just mentioned Silver City. Since you have a sense of what goes on all over the place, are there any really exemplary communities right now, either small or large, that are really managing to recycle a good chunk of their waste?
You know, there are communities around the state that are doing a great job, and it's mostly because they have good collection systems in place. They've been working at it for a good 5-10 years, getting those systems, making sure they're where the people go. And Jill's right, Silver City is the only one with this pay-as-you-throw mechanism, and it's something that's on our table as well to start educating community leaders about the solid waste structure, because it truly will incentivize people to divert more, but they first have to have a place to take everything. They have to be able to conveniently recycle first. But then down the line, like Jill talked about, a few years, putting in a solid waste structure like this will really bump up that recycling rate once people feel, you know, it's an economic choice. Kind of like your light bill or the water bill, mm-hmm. You know, you pay for what you use.
Okay. I want to try to get in just two more callers real quick here before we end. Mary in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Thank you, all of you, for this fabulous show. You've been answering a number of my questions, and I do have one lingering one, and that is with regard to the expanded program that you've talked about, which sounds amazing with all the added options that will be included in the pickup. How long will some of us wait for, if we aren't one of the chosen few, for the option to be available for us? And in particular, plastics are something that I have a concern about. I know that that's been available pickup, or at least that option of getting rid of plastics beyond number two, like between 2 and 6 or 2 and 7, countywide. And so my question was this true statewide, that each county was taking responsibility for those plastics? And or was it just certain counties? And secondly, again, how long would we need to wait for some of these other options?
Go ahead, English.
Well, statewide, each community collects differently, but most really do focus on that plastic number one and number two bottles that you do see in Albuquerque for many reasons. It's the greatest percentage of material in that plastic 1 through 7 arena, and it also has the highest value as well as far as the remanufacturing side.
Yeah, and as far as when you'll get your cart, which is one of the most frequent questions I hear nowadays, the citywide expansion will be the end of this calendar year or the beginning of next calendar year to coincide with the Freedman facility here in Albuquerque opening up. And when you get your cart is when you can recycle those new materials.
Great. Well, thanks. We need to wrap it up now. I'm sorry. I apologize if we weren't able to get to your call, but a thank you to Jill Holbert, Acting Director of Albuquerque's Waste Management Department. Thanks so much for being in here.
Thank
you. English Bird with the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
If you want to hear any part of today's show again, you can find the call-in show archived online at KUNM.org. Next week on the call-in show, we'll discuss the Affordable Care Act. It's been a year since the controversial federal health care law went into effect, and soon the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on the law's constitutionality. What have been the law's impacts on New Mexico? You can send us an email to callinshow@KUNM.org. We'll take your calls live. That's next Thursday morning at 8. Thank you to our engineer, Ramon Garcia. Garcia, our phone screener, Michael Hess, and to our news intern, especially for that nice montage at the beginning, Andy Lyman.